Air America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley. The number of threats against federal judges are soaring. About a year and a half after the family of a federal judge was killed in Chicago, the U.S. Marshals Service says threats against judges on the federal bench have quadrupled in just the past 10 years. And this year alone, the Marshals Service says there have been 822 reports of inappropriate communications and threats. So they're on a pace that could top 1,000 or more for the year. Billions of dollars wasted. The Homeland Security Department spent $34 billion in its first 2 years on private contracts that were either poorly managed or included significant waste or abuse. A new congressional report found faulty airport screening machines, unused mobile homes for hurricane victims, and lavish employee office spaces among 32 contracts on which Homeland Security overspent billions of dollars. Congressman Tom Davis, a Republican, and Henry Waxman, a Democrat who had the House Government Reform Committee, said, quote, "The cumulative costs to the taxpayer are enormous." London was hit with a major blackout in the middle of a heat wave today. More than 3,000 businesses in the heart of the city were out without power as the temperature hit 86 degrees in London. A spokesman for the electric company says high demand caused faults in London's power system, which in turn caused the outages. Warning that a victory for Hezbollah is a victory for world terror, Israel's justice minister vows it will not stop until Hezbollah is disarmed. As Israeli airstrikes continued today, the minister says the Air Force has to bomb villages before ground forces can go in. In fact, he says they're not villages, but rather military bases from which Hezbollah operates. Thousands of civilians may be trapped in southern Lebanese villages. Americans who've made it out say they left behind many more U.S. citizens. Meanwhile, two of Hezbollah's top sponsors are reportedly having a get-together. An Iranian envoy is said to be in Syria to discuss the conflict, talking about bringing more Iranian weapons to Hezbollah by way of Syria. Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice may head back to the Middle East. Rice cutting short a visit to Kuala Lumpur for a departure tomorrow instead of Saturday. She has not yet confirmed where she's going. With Asian diplomats expressing concerns about the Mideast violence, Rice said she is willing to return to the region and defend the U.S. resistance to an immediate ceasefire. She says there is no quick fix. This is Air America Radio News.
why I want the America to be the leader, economic leader in the world. It's because I want the American people to benefit. I want people's lifestyles to go up.
Hey, good evening, Truth Seekers. Malloy here on Air America Radio. Thanks for joining us tonight. We have a considerable amount of ground to cover tonight. Chucklenuts had a busy day in Washington, D.C., Truth Seekers. Anything to keep his mind off that that new Al-Qaeda tape and all those bad things that are happening with, you know, those people over in the Middle East. So anyway, we have lots of moron sounds on the program for you tonight. At midnight Eastern time here, in about 2 hours, Clint Curtis, the candidate for Congress in Florida's 24th District, will be joining us. One of the fighting Democrats, as we call it. The conversation we've been having on this program the past couple of weeks has certainly stimulated a lot of email to me. People who are writing in from all over the political spectrum about, I guess, my take vis-a-vis their take on the situation between the Israelis and Hezbollah, the Israelis and the Palestinians, the Israelis and the Lebanese. Most of the emails have been interesting and to read, educational in a way. Some of them have been the usual garbage you expect from certain people. I got this today from Judy. She writes, I am Jewish, yet I agree with you about the situation in Israel. But what upsets me is you are opening a can of worms and out crawl anti-Semites with the same old garbage. Like that woman last night who said the Jews are in charge of the media, etc. I am afraid of the upsurge in anti-Semitism. I lived in Europe for 15 years in the 70s and 80s and met many people who lost entire families in the Holocaust. My friends were Christians, but if they weren't careful, they uttered racist remarks without thinking. And then Judy adds a couple of nice comments about Kathy and Molly. Keep up the good talk. Judy and her last name. And when I read that, and I think, yeah, you know, she's right. Judy is right, because there's a whole industry out there that, for whatever reason, is dedicated to attacking Jews on whatever level they can come up with. And it's a pretty grim industry. It's not stuff I'm just being exposed to. Oh my God, no! I've been familiar with this kind of hate literature for the past 30 years, especially here in the South. It's especially rampant. In part of Metro Atlanta, there's four or five counties that used to make up Metro Atlanta. Now it's up to about 14 counties. But Cobb County, Georgia, which includes Marietta, and it was and still is to some degree a hotbed of Klan types and Christian murderers and anti-Semites of the most extreme order. And over the past 25 or 30 years, you know, as working as a journalist for a newspaper here in Atlanta, and then working for CNN, then working in radio, you know, I've had occasion to really be exposed to what these groups are about. They're not exclusively anti-Semitic, but their anti-Semitism is of a incredibly vile nature. It's stuff that is just it's beyond my ability to comprehend. It's right up there with their anti-African American approach. So anyway, I understand what Judy is saying. We've tried in the past few days to I've tried in the past few days to explain clearly that what my position is. I believe in the existence of the state of Israel, just like I believe in the existence of a Palestinian state. I see the differences between the two people as being contrived, unnecessary, and full of misunderstanding and hate. Now, that's easy for me to say. I live here. I don't live there. So for me to say it's filled with misunderstanding and hate is a bit cavalier, perhaps, on my part. But that's my take on it, and I'm kind of trapped inside my own head. You understand what I'm saying? By the same token, I honestly believe that state-sponsored terrorism should be challenged. I don't care who does it. And I also believe that the interests of the United States no longer parallel always exactly the interests of the state of Israel. I just don't. I don't know that that means that Israel should be abandoned. For the most part, we don't abandon our tight allies. We would never abandon the UK. We would never abandon... well, I guess that's it. I don't think we would ever diplomatically abandon Israel, although the people who are running the United States now are of a mindset that says the Jews must die. Eventually, the Jews must die, those who won't convert to Christianity. So, while the United States' interests do not parallel those of Israel 100% of the time, the converse is true. The goals and the aspirations of Israel certainly don't parallel those of the United States 100% of the time, if ever. You can make the argument that Israel is using the United States, that Israel is nothing more than a forward base for U.S. military aggression. You can also make the charge that the United States is nothing more than the guy on the street who takes care, the big guy on the street who takes care of the little guy on the street, the little guy being Israel. I mentioned before that of the 200 or 300, nobody really knows, nuclear weapons that Israel has. And remember, Israel and India, and who's the other country? Israel, India, and there's a third country that's refused to sign the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty, which means that we have no way of knowing exactly what their nuclear programs, whether they're peaceful or military, consist of. So the assumption is that Israel has in its possession anywhere from 200 to 500 nuclear bombs and the capability to deliver those weapons. And I maintain that some of them are specifically to protect Israel from whatever aggressive acts the United States may eventually make. I also believe that were the oil-producing countries in the Middle East to absolutely and utterly give the United States a choice, either deal with them directly and drop Israel, or oil would cease flowing to the United States, that such a position would result in one, possibly two things. One would be the justification for a full-blown military assault against Kuwait, against Saudi Arabia, against Iran, against Iraq, against the so-called stands around the Baltic Sea or the Caspian Sea area. But the second issue, and I think this is pretty much a given, the United States would toss Israel into the Red Sea quicker than the Arab nations could ever push Israel into the Mediterranean. We're talking about global power here. And I think the United States will protect Israel only so long as Israel does some of the dirty work, as seen by various American administrations, Democrat and Republican. The Israelis, I don't think, see it as doing America's dirty work. I think the people who govern Israel truly believe that the actions they take, however criminal, however beyond the pale, however vicious are actions, that they feel are justified. Just like I think George Bush and the neocons behind him felt that the actions taken against Iraq was justified. So anyway, all of that to say, I'd like to continue the discussion on what's going on in the Middle East, but we need to broaden out a little bit at times in the program. It's a horrific situation. I can't look at any more pictures of children burned to crisps, or charred to the point where they don't look human anymore. It's a horrible time. It is. And I think what makes it horrible is the fact that so many countries right now, so many nation states are absolutely lacking in moral and ethical leadership. We'll be back. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
You know how they say that everything that's ever been broadcast on Earth is still traveling through outer space? In the case of Air America Radio, that would sound a little like this. Well, that's a little tough to listen to, right? So we've unraveled a lot of the best shows we've ever done and plopped them on the internet at Air America Premium. That way you can listen to great moments from Air America shows one at a time. So you could go out in space to hear this stuff, or you can find out more about Air America Premium from the comfort of your own home at airamerica.com.
What's more important to you, a better-looking vacuum or a cleaner, healthier home? Hi, I'm David Orrick. My 8-pound Orrick XL may not win any beauty contests, but it wins rave reviews from owners of those dust-spewing bagless clunkers. Once they try an Orrick XL, they love it. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200, and take a risk-free trial of the vacuum that won't send a cloud of dust in your face.
To Resistance Radio with Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
21 past the hour. While the butchery in the Middle East continues here in the Western Hemisphere, some interesting play-by-play going on. Venezuela's President Hugo Chavez is in Russia, and he has signed an arms deal with the Russians worth about $3 billion. Well, this is just done, I believe, today. Chavez has praised Russia for defying a United States arms blockade and had been expected to spend $1 billion on a fighter aircraft for Venezuela. Chavez was at a Moscow library where he was at an unveiling of a bust of the 19th century South American liberation hero Simon Bolivar. And he said, quote, "The biggest threat which exists in the world is the empire of the United States." He went on to say, "It is a senseless, blind, stupid giant that doesn't understand the world, doesn't understand human rights, doesn't understand anything about humanity, culture, and consciousness." Okay. Yeah, I mean, other than that, you know, we have fast food here, right? Now, regarding that arms purchase, of course, the U.S. got very, very itchy about that. And Russia's defense minister ruled out yesterday, before the deal was signed, ruled out reconsidering this multi-billion dollar contracts on supplies of military planes and helicopters to Venezuela. What happened was Tom Casey, who's a deputy spokesman for the U.S. Department, State Department, said on Tuesday that Bush's administration wanted Russia to review the deals. Casey said the weapons purchases Venezuela planned exceeded that country's demands and did not contribute to regional stability. Don't you love that? Like the Bush crime family that is destabilizing the entire globe and doing everything in its power to destabilize Central and South America even still, and attempting covertly to overthrow four or five governments in South America. That's what the Bush crime family is doing, the most prominent of which is Chavez's own government. So this half-ass from the State Department, Tom Casey, says, well, you know, if the Venezuelans buy all this weaponry from Russia, it's going to destabilize the region. Anyway, Sergei Ivanov, who is deputy prime minister of Russia and also the defense minister, he has two titles there, said, quote, "Reviewing the contract is absolutely out of the question. In my opinion, the planes and the helicopters recorded in the contract are not excessive for the defense of a small country such as Venezuela. We will honor the contract." Ooh. The Russian Foreign Ministry's official spokesman also said Wednesday that Russian arms deliveries to Venezuela fully corresponded to the norms of international law and Russian law. Mikhail Kamainen said, quote, "Military technical cooperation with Venezuela, as well as with other countries, is carried out by Russia in full accordance with the norms of international law as well as Russian legislation." Isn't it amazing? The thing, you know, Bush goes over and tells the Indians that he's going to provide them with nuclear technology and nuclear fuel. Now, India is a country that refused to sign the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. The third country I couldn't think of a few minutes ago is Pakistan. India, Pakistan, Israel are the three states that have refused to sign this non-proliferation treaty. So Bush goes to the Indians. Plus, you know, Clinton had put restrictions on the shifting of nuclear technology to India and Pakistan back in, oh, my God, when was it? I guess, well, obviously back in the 90s. But Bush goes over there and says, no, okay, we're going to remove the restrictions. And it had to go through the Congress. So the Congress, by a vote of 359-68, the U.S. House of Representatives, by a vote of 359-68, said, yeah, okay, let's go ahead and do that. Now, there's only two. How many Democrats? How many Republicans are there in the House? 225 or something? At least we got a bunch of yummy mangoes out of the deal, right? Now, until the vote last night by the U.S. House, American law had prohibited nuclear cooperation with any of the three states that have refused to sign that treaty, India, Pakistan, and Israel. Now, isn't that funny? Can you imagine that according to the law, we have been prohibited from sharing nuclear information, technology, or fuel or whatever with Israel, Pakistan, and India? Think about that for a minute while we do the break, okay? We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy.
This is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with a first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. And Avacor with Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order, plus a free gift from Avacor's hair care line of products. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.
Okay, the question before the court is this. Who exactly eliminated the middleman? All right, we'll come clean. GEICO is guilty as charged. Yes, we did away with him, and we do it again. After all, when GEICO gives you the same great service as the other guys and could save you hundreds on your car insurance, getting rid of the middleman isn't really a crime. It's more of a public service.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
Hi, I'm David Oreck. 40 million Americans suffer from allergies, 17 million from asthma, 37 million from sinus infections. Here's the thought. Change the air you breathe. An Oreck Professional Air Purifier completely renews the air in an average-sized room every 10 minutes. Try it free for 90 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. That's 1-800-989-4200.
We'll be right back. The United States is looking forward to eating Indian mangoes.
Yeah. Let's see. That was equivalent. His taking the mangoes in return for nuclear technology. Wasn't there a fairy tale? Isn't that like the handful of magic beans in exchange for the cow or something? Jack and the Beanstalk. I don't know. Bush is such a psychopath. He really is. Anyway, the conservatives truly do want global war. They send a foul-smelling creature like Ann Coulter out to spread her hate and her fear. They enact a foreign policy that's put together by neoconservatives who are old and crippled mentally as well as spiritually. They put together a foreign policy that guarantees mega death all over the planet. The conservatives truly want global war, and I think this vote on yesterday on the nuclear deal with India is a clear example of that. Now, again, until this vote last night, American law had prohibited nuclear cooperation with any of the three states that refused to sign the non-proliferation treaty, India, Pakistan, and Israel. And it's laughable, isn't it, to think that we are not sharing with those three countries. It's insanely laughable. But critics of the agreement that Bush proposed when he was in India and that now the U.S. House has passed, critics have argued that you know, it's like hypocritical to carve out an exception for India. At the same time, the United States is trying to force Iran, which is a signer of the non-proliferation treaty, to give up any production of nuclear material. Now, somebody with an IQ around room temperature would take a look at India and Iran and say, oh, wait a minute, that ain't right. But the conservatives, the ones who want to murder everything on the planet for their peculiar agenda, they don't. They this is just business as usual, you know, business as usual. Ed Markey, the Massachusetts Democrat who led the opposition to this thing, to this agreement, said, quote, what kind of signal are we sending to the world when Iran is on trial in the Security Council for its nuclear program and we're turning a blind eye to India? We are making a mockery of the non-proliferation system, end quote. Well, of course, but remember, George Bush and Dick Cheney and Rumsfeld and Rice and the rest of these Nazis are so far beyond the idea of operating within a framework of constitutional government, checks and balances. They're so far beyond that. It's strictly dictatorial powers now, or their euphemism, unitary power. Oh, and Gonzalez, let's not forget Gonzalez. These people are so far beyond any adherence to any agreements, any treaties, any rules, any laws set forth in the Constitution as to render the whole thing just laughable. If George Bush wants to declare that he's going to do nuclear business in violation of the law with a non-signer of the non-proliferation treaty, he simply makes a statement and then comes back to the United States and tells the nuclear industry, okay, lobby the members of Congress. You have to lobby to get this done. And the nuclear industry does the dirty work, because who's going to benefit from this? Now, Nancy Pelosi, the House Minority Leader, argued in favor of the deal. Nancy Pelosi apparently is a potential mass killer herself. The Indian American lobby argued for it, and the nuclear industry lobbied for it. Huh? Now, when the restrictions are lifted, American companies will be free to sell reactors and other equipment to India. Period. That's it. Now, India, according to the New York Times, India now digs out of the ground a relatively small amount of uranium, which it divides between its weapons program and its nuclear power program. And this new agreement with the U.S. will free up all the uranium that India mines for weapons purposes. And international inspectors will have no access to the military facilities. Huh? Now, an amendment offered by several Democrats that would have required India to agree to limit its production of nuclear weapons fuel was defeated with supporters of the deal saying it would be rejected by the Indians. Well, wait a minute. So if the Indians reject it, so what? We're the ones that have what they want. If they wouldn't agree to it, we could have said, well, then you don't get it. Now, the supporters of the agreement, according to the Times, offered several reasons for supporting passage, including economic benefits for the American nuclear industry, and encouragement to India to promote American strategic interests. So there you go. Now, the one thing, of course, that has to be considered here, India being a Muslim state, being a Hindu state, more or less, in a constant state of Cold War with Pakistan, both of whom have nuclear weapons now aimed at each other, and Pakistan is going to react to this. Pakistan has spent, about 40 years building a nuclear arsenal to counter India's. So this leads me back to the note I wrote on this when I was going over this afternoon. The conservatives want global nuclear war. They want it. They believe it's survivable, and they believe it will wipe out the excess, in their minds, 5 to 6 billion human beings that now exist on the planet. They also believe that somehow they can survive this. They can stay in their deep underground bunkers until the nuclear radiation cools down a bit. That's what these sons of bitches believe, apparently. It's incredible. These are the people who are in control of the United States. Now, I need to go back for just a second to this idea of criticizing Israel. I think one of the reasons people go bananas when you start to hear criticism of Israeli foreign policy in the Middle East is because it literally has been a taboo subject. Now, it's not been a taboo subject because the Jews own American media or have some sort of control over what's said. It is because there is almost an unspoken agreement not And this agreement has been in effect for decades, not to criticize Israel. And again, it goes back to what I said, the two things that I mentioned last night. The massive guilt that the West feels for abandoning the Jews of Europe during the Holocaust, A. B, the fact that Israel was a strategic partner of the United States during the five-decade-long Cold War in the Middle East. And as a result of never having criticized Israel, no matter what Israel does, the most massive spy case against the spying operation against the United States was the one run by Jay Pollard, who fled when he was tried to flee when he was found out back to Israel. The people who have compromised American security to the greatest degree in of all the nations that we deal with has not been Russia, has not been China, has not been Iran, it's been Israel. Now, what they have done with the information that they got through their network of spies in this country is beside the point. Now, have they used it? Who knows? Who knows what is being done with this information? Now, remember, we do remember, some of us do, when Jonathan Pollard was tried and convicted, and he's in the Supermax prison in, Marion, Illinois, along with some of the most heavy-duty prisoners that the United States has. But it was Jonathan Pollard. It was an Israeli spy who did this. Now, a lot of people say, well, so what? That's just one individual. Okay. He was. Did the Israelis turn him in when he started giving information to the government of Israel? No. Who turned him in? Well, nobody turned him in. He was found out by American investigative units, police, FBI, CIA, whomever. So any criticism of Israel has been taboo. As a result of that taboo, when Israel conducts itself in a manner that demands criticism, it sounds so outrageous. Oh my God, he's criticizing the Jews, not realizing that there's no criticism of the Jews at all. It's a criticism of Israeli policy in a part of the world that is just it's a room full of gasoline. With people standing there in the gasoline, arguing who's got the most matches, and it's horrifying. So of all the people who have written to me in the past couple of weeks and said, well, thank God somebody's speaking out about Israel policy and how odd it sounds to you. Yeah, it does sound odd, doesn't it? Not because there is some conspiracy ordered by the Mossad or the Israeli government to shut Americans up, but because there has been a half-century-long unspoken agreement not to criticize what Israel did. And that game, as far as I'm concerned, is over. I never thought it was a valid game to begin with. So, anyway. Let's take a break. We'll be back. We're going to play some of this Bush nonsense for you. This is Air America. I'm Mike Malloy.
Page 130. They brainwashed my great uncle. Brainwashed my cousin Bob. They even got my grandma when she was working for the mob. Brainwash you while you're sleeping, while in your traffic jam. Brainwash you while you're weeping, like a little baby in your frown. Brainwashed by the military. Brainwashed under duress. Brainwashed by the media. You're brainwashed by the press. Brainwashed by computer. Brainwashed by mobile phone. Brainwashed by
the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
If you're one of the 40 million without health insurance and are worried about health care, then you should know about Qualified Health. Qualified Health is a nationwide medical savings program that covers you and your family for less than $3 a day. Everyone qualifies regardless of pre-existing conditions. As a member, your bills will be a fraction of what they might have been. You will save on doctor visits, surgery, hospital stays, dental, vision, lab work, prescriptions, and have access to one of the largest healthcare networks in the country. To learn more about how you can save hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on your healthcare every year, call for your free brochure.
1-800-728-0036. That's 1-800-728-0036.
Or on the web at www.qhealth.com. Qualified Health membership is satisfaction guaranteed, and you may cancel at any time. $3 a day is a small price to pay for peace of mind. So if you don't have health insurance or are underinsured, call Qualified Health today.
1-800-728-0036.
I haven't given up on Russia. I still think Russia understands that it's in her interest to be West.
It's what? It's in her interest to be West?
She makes a sign.
Jesus God. Bush's very busy day. You know, that could be the title of a fairy tale in itself, kind of like his other favorites, My Pet Goat and Curious George Bombs Iraq. But here's just a sample of the activities that kept Chucklenuts away from the video monitors today, which were just showing things all blown up and stuff, you know, death and charred babies. He signed the Voting Rights Act Reauthorization and Amendments Act of 2006, an exercise in just astonishing monumental hypocrisy. But anyway, he addressed the National Association of Manufacturers. This bastard president of ours is the one that has ended more manufacturing jobs in this country than Clinton did, which is really saying something. He also met with President Baiescu of Romania, welcomed to the White House. Baiescu let George Bush know that, yes, he, Baiescu, is a vampire, and that's the reason for the huge box of dirt that they sent to the basement of the White House for as long as this guy's in town. He also signed H.R. 9, H.R. 2872, and H.R. 5117. He also signed H.R. 5865, the Returned Americans Protection Act of 2006. I have no idea what it is. And he signed H.R. 4472, the Adam Walsh Child Protection and Safety Act of 2006. So it's been a very, very busy day for Chucklenuts. Here he welcomes President Baiescu to the White House. And after embarrassing America yet again, this time by addressing him as Prime Minister Baiescu, Chucklenuts took some questions from reporters before getting in his on his scooter and heading off to another bill signing. The reporter said, "Mr. President, Israel's Justice Minister said that the lack of a call from the international community for an immediate ceasefire essentially gives Israel a green light to commit more murder. Oh no, wait, that's my words. A green light to push harder." And the top general there says there'll be several more weeks of fighting. Is your administration okay with this?
Hezbollah attacked Israel. I believe Hezbollah, I know Hezbollah is connected to Iran. And now's the time for the world to confront this danger. Look, we care deeply about the loss of life.
Yeah.
And I'm troubled by the destruction that has taken place in Lebanon.
You love it.
You know, we grieve when Lebanese families lose innocent life.
You salivate.
I've urged that there to be caution when it comes to dealing with Hezbollah. On the other hand, I fully understand that whatever is done diplomatically must address the root cause. And the root cause is terrorist activities.
So how do you get the Israeli Defense Forces to stop their terrorist activities, George? Oops. Oh, you're not talking about the IDF. Who are you talking about? I mean, when you detain people for years and do not charge them, as the Israelis have done with the Palestinians, or I don't know, not Palestinian bomb throwers, just Palestinians that the Israelis think might someday... There was a movie about this, George. Might someday commit an act of aggression against his... Oh, never mind. It's all so confusing, right, George? So the same reporter continues, "So several more weeks of fighting is okay to achieve these goals, Mr. President?"
My goal is exactly what I said it was, and that is to hopefully end this as quickly as possible and at the same time making sure there's a lasting peace.
That's a lie.
Not a fake peace, not a fake... kind of circumstances that make us all feel better, then sure enough, the problem arises again. And that's the goal of the United States, and we're working toward that end. We're working hard diplomatically. Look, as soon as we can get this resolved, the better, obviously. But it must be real, and it can't be fake.
Oh, okay. Well, I guess all the children that have been turned into little corpses, little charred corpses, I don't know. Is that fake, George? You murdering son of a bitch? Is that stuff fake? I hate to digress, but all the people you've sent to hell in Iraq by burning them and blowing them into red mist, is that fake? What's fake, Mr. Death-loving, death-monstrous-sucking president? What's fake about families being blown into a million pieces, huh? What's fake? What's fake, huh? Bush dashes from signing the child protection law to finally signing the Voting Rights Reauthorization Act of 2006, and had this to say. Now, remember, this is a guy who has done everything in his power to shut down the voting rights of Americans of African descent.
The right of ordinary men and women to determine their own political future lies at the heart of the American experiment.
Yeah, okay.
For some parts of our country, the Voting Rights Act marked the first appearance of African Americans on the voting rolls since Reconstruction.
Yeah, we'll stop that.
And in the primaries and elections that followed the signings of this act, many African Americans pulled the voting lever for the first time in their lives.
Well, that's over, too. Now it's touchscreen.
We'll continue to build on the legal equality run by the civil rights movement to help ensure that every person enjoys the opportunity. This great land of liberty offers.
Offers, yeah. Okay. Hello?
My administration will vigorously enforce the provisions of this law, and we will defend it in court.
Or we'll be defendants in court when we're sued by Papantonio and Kennedy for violating the rights of minority vote. Oh, never mind. Defend it. Defendants, defend it. We'll defend it. We're a defendant. We'll defend it. I'm a defendant. Defoon, something like that. I keep getting confused on all this legal stuff. But, you know, I do want the Negroes to vote. I do want the Negroes to vote. Frankly, I like to see the queers get married, too. But, you know, I've got these mouth-breathing bastards hanging on my pants leg all the time saying, stop the queers. Actually, I don't want the Negroes to vote because, you know, I have nothing in common with them. They don't like me. And, you know, if they get the right to vote, they'll just vote against me. So screw them. They all like, you know, they just want to sit around and eat watermelon and fried chicken anyway. What's up next? I got more stuff to sign? Okay, right after Malloy has a break, I'll come back and sign it. This is Air America.
Malloy on Air America Radio.
When it comes to HIV and young Americans, some politicians promote an abstinence-only policy. This is Al Franken, and I'm encouraging abstinence from complacency and inaction. Take action in the fight against AIDS and help make AIDS history.
There are more than 75 walks happening all over the country throughout the year. For a comprehensive guide that'll help you locate the AIDS Walk event closest to you, visit AIDSWalk.org. That's AIDSWalk.org, a message from Air America Radio.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. Can a vacuum make a difference in your life? Ask anybody who owns an 8-pound Orrick XL. They'll tell you there's not an easier or more efficient way to clean your home. And it's sanitary. See for yourself risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200. I'll get an Orrick XL to you faster than you can say, why settle for clean when you can have healthy, too.
We'll be right back.
Air America Radio News. I'm Bill Crowley. The Voting Rights Act has officially been extended for at least another 25 years. George Bush today signed legislation extending the historic 1965 law. It outlawed racist voting practices in the South and opened polls to millions of black voters. The South lawn audience for the bill signing included civil rights leaders and family members of other leaders of that cause from the past. Key provisions of the bill were not set to expire till next year, but the Republican-controlled Congress, hoping to improve its standing with minorities in this election year, pushed the bill through. George Bush's point man at the United Nations got an earful on Capitol Hill today from one lawmaker and some protesters. The Senate Foreign Relations Committee taking up John Bolton's nomination to be UN ambassador. A protester stood up as lawmakers started questioning Bolton. She yelled that Bolton doesn't represent the nation's best interest. Just a few minutes after she was taken out of the room, another woman started shouting and she was also removed. Bolton has been serving in the UN post since Bush installed him temporarily last year without Senate approval. A key Republican who sided with Democrats last year now says he would support Bolton, but Connecticut Democrat Chris Dodd says his problem with Bolton is not that the ambassador is a bully, but that he's, quote, an ineffective bully. The panel chairman, Richard Lugar, says the Senate should vote on the man Bush wants in a key post. The European Union says Israel is totally wrong to think that the international crisis meeting gave Jerusalem permission to continue its fight against Hezbollah. Israel's justice minister said today the high-level Rome conference this week ended with, quote, permission from the world to continue its offensive in southern Lebanon. But EU officials say that interpretation is not accurate and that Middle East hostility should stop now. With the U.S. opposed to an unconditional ceasefire, that conference ended in disagreement. Washington wants to give Israel more time to diminish Hezbollah's capabilities in southern Lebanon so an international force could move in. Over the objections of the Bush administration, a Russian arms export official says Moscow signed multi-billion dollar contracts to supply Venezuela with arms, fighter planes, helicopters. Washington imposed an arms embargo on the government of Hugo Chavez this year. During a visit to Moscow, though, Chavez has signed a deal with Russian President Vladimir Putin for new arms to Venezuela. This is Air America Radio News.
Welcome back. Okay, back to Chuckle Nuts, because I want to get all this in. He goes on to the next phase of his very busy day today. He had an address to the National Association of Manufacturers. Now, you got to love how he justifies sending jobs overseas here. Keep in mind that George Bush's policies have resulted in a stake in the heart of manufacturing jobs in this country, save those jobs that are being produced by foreign companies, mostly foreign automakers, who have decided that they can build their cars cheaper in the United States in non-union shops. We are becoming a market where labor is cheaper here than the overall cost of producing a vehicle, for example, is cheaper to do it here, obviously, because of Bush's misguided trade policies. But try to keep in mind, I know these are real yawners, but listen to Chuckle Nuts here as he justifies sending jobs overseas.
A strong economy is good for our people.
Really?
That's why I want the America to be the leader, economic leader in the world. It's because I want the American people to benefit. I want people's lifestyles to go up.
Unless they're queer.
Our economic growth is powered by manufacturing.
Like McDonald's?
Catch this fact.
Catch this fact.
By itself, U.S. manufacturing output is greater in size than the eighth largest economy in the world.
What does that mean?
Our nation's standard of living depends on our manufacturers.
No, what does that mean?
America's manufacturers provide our people with rewarding careers and high-paying jobs. Manufacturing jobs pay over 20% more than the national average.
What?
If you're working for a manufacturing company, you're likely to be getting paid more than your neighbor.
Yeah, because your neighbor's unemployed.
Your standard of living is higher.
Then what?
For decades, our manufacturers have faced the pressures of increased competition and globalization. But you've handled that competition well. Not only have you handled it well, you've excelled.
Jesus Christ Almighty. Oh, my God. It's astonishing. It's just astonishing. Catch this fact. Catch it. Hey, y'all, catch this fact. U.S. manufacturing output is greater in size than the eighth largest economy in the world. What does that mean, George? So, okay, if all that is true, why is the American manufacturing sector suffering so much?
You know, we've overcome a lot together. Sometimes it's easy to forget short-term history. I'm sure you still remember the days of recession.
Yeah.
Stock market adjustment. Corporate scandals.
What else? What else?
The terrorist attack of September the 11th, 2001, that still drives my foreign policy.
Uh-huh.
The response of our government to defend ourselves.
Yeah.
So the first thing you got to do in here in Washington is set priorities when it comes to spending the people's money. And I'll tell you my priority is this. So long as we have a man or woman in wearing our uniform who's in harm's way, they will get all they need to secure the victory.
Yeah! Yeah! Yeah!
We'll spend resources to protect this homeland.
Yeah!
September the 11th reminded us that we're no longer an island, that we can't assume problems overseas won't come home to hurt us.
Now, wait a second. Is this the cocaine talking? I thought you were talking about short-term history and the recession that you caused and the stock market adjustment because people understood you're a psychopath. And the corporate scandals, because they're all Republicans and conservatives. Oh, and the terrorist attack! Yeah! My priority is this. So long as we have a man or woman wearing our uniform who is in harm's way, they will get all they need to secure the victory. You filthy liar. You filthy, stinking liar. I hope hell does exist for you, Mr. Bush.
Just because you say you're wise doesn't make it so.
You got to be wise about how we spend your money. You got to be wise when we appropriate money here in Washington.
Mm.
Deficits could hurt economic vitality, and I understand that.
Do you?
And so we got to show spending restraint elsewhere in the budget if we're going to be wise about how we spend your money.
Elsewhere in the budget?
We've reduced the rate of growth of non-security discretionary spending since 2001, and my last two budgets have cut this kind of spending.
Mm.
I also addressed mandatory spending earlier this year when I signed the Deficit Reduction Act, which saves taxpayers nearly $40 billion over the next 5 years. In other words, we're working with Congress to be wise about spending your money.
You son of a bitch. We've reduced the rate of growth of non-security discretionary spending. Let me see, what would that be? Medicare, Medicaid, aid to education, aid to single moms, research into, you know, medical research, scientific research. Yeah, you've cut a lot, you evil, evil man, you. You've saved taxpayers nearly $40 billion over the next 5 years. Well, those taxpayers, George, happen to be the top one-half of 1% in the country. And the way you've done that, the way you've been wise about spending our money, is that you have cut all of the social programs that have been in place since the 1930s that have advanced this society. And you, you evil fart, and the people that put you there, you don't want that anymore. You want all of it. You greedy bastard. My last two budgets have cut this kind of spending. You know, I've often said that a hungry child is an alert child. So we've made sure that a lot of these little boogers can't get any more of that free food. Women, infants, children, what's that about? Here, catch this. We're going to cut that down to zero. Did you catch it? Last one from this evil bastard for the evening, and this one's a doozy.
We set a goal for this country that we'd cut the deficit in half by 2009. It's had an interesting statistic come out in the mid-session review recently.
Yeah.
It's time we take a look and see how things are going.
Yeah.
When Rob Portman, who's the director of OMB, analyzed revenues and spending, it's projected that tax revenues will grow by $246 billion during this year.
Woo.
In other words, when you cut the taxes and you grow your economy, more revenues come into the treasury. And it looks like we're on track to balance our budget by 2008.
We're going to balance. Now, if you go to the WhiteHouse.gov website, you'll see a little asterisk after that last sentence. It looks like we're on track to balance our budget by 2008. When you let your eyes wander down to the bottom of the page, you'll see that the asterisk says the following. The president meant to say, cut the deficit in half by 2008. Kind of a big difference here, right? Huh? Kind of a, yeah? Yeah. Okay. Have I mentioned yet tonight how much I hate these people? Manufacturing jobs. Now, let me see. It was the Bush crime family's Department of Labor, wasn't it? Or was it the Office of Management Budget? I don't remember which. That said, people who work in fast food joints making $5.20 an hour, the people who worked on the grill assembling the hamburgers, that was a manufacturing job. Because, you know, they're manufacturing a hamburger sandwich to hand out through the window for, you know, $1.25. You know, I hope there is a hell for you, George Bush, and the rest of your thugs. I really do. I hope you get exactly what you deserve.
listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Who's there?
Opportunity.
Opportunity who?
Opportunity knocking.
What for?
Your chance to win.
Win what?
Sony stuff.
Who's with you?
Sony card.
Sony card who?
Sony card weekly cash-in.
Cash-in? How much?
A $500 Sony card credit or a $599 Sony-style gift card every week.
That's a lot of dough.
Good for a lot of entertainment.
Like movies and music? A digital camera?
Go for it.
But how?
Every week, three lucky card members could win.
Sounds like a great opportunity.
But you gotta act fast.
Where do I apply?
Online.
What's the address?
Go to SonyCardWin.com/winner.
Sounds easy.
It is. It's SonyCard. Earning points towards Sony rewards with every use. Go to SonyCardWin.com/winner. No purchase necessary. Offer ends 12/31/06. Void where prohibited. Open only to U.S. residents 18 or older as of date of entry. Odds of winning depend on number of entries. For official rules and alternative method of entry, go to SonyCardWin.com. Sponsored by Sony Electronics, Inc. And remember, life's more entertaining with SonyCard.
People finding work, you better increase demand if you're trying to create new jobs. In other words, if one worker can do more work, you got to create the need for more work.
Oh my God. Kurt Minneapolis sent me a quick email. If Bush says the U.S. manufacturing sector is bigger than the eighth largest economy in the world, okay. But we all know that California is the fifth largest economy in the world, right? Ergo, U.S. manufacturing output is significantly lower than the economy of one state out of 50.
What you have to do is, after every sentence in Bush's speech, is just add the words, in India. You know, it's the biggest sector of the economy in India.
Okay.
We have increased manufacturing jobs in India.
Okay. Reuters news agency now is reporting this. Along Lebanon's sandy beaches and rocky headlands runs a belt of black sludge, 10,000 to 30,000 tons of oil that has now spilled into the Mediterranean after Israel bombed a power plant. Lebanon's environment ministry says the oil flooded into the sea when Israeli jets hit storage tanks at the Gia plant south of Beirut, creating an ecological crisis that Lebanon's government has neither the money nor the expertise to deal with. The environment minister told Reuters, quote, "We have never seen a spill like this in the history of Lebanon. It is a major catastrophe." He went on to say, "The equipment we have is for minor spills. We use it once in a blue moon to clean a small spill of 50 tons or so. To clean this whole thing, we would need an armada." The spill is especially threatening since fish spawn and sea turtles nest on Lebanon's coast, including the green turtle, which is endangered in the Mediterranean. Who cares? Green turtle, green schmertle. An Israeli warship damaged by a Hezbollah missile on July 15th also may have spilled diesel oil into the sea, according to the Environment Ministry website. And it goes on and on. On and on. Oh, well. When you capture a couple of Israeli soldiers who have penetrated your territory, this is what will happen to you. Even if you haven't captured them, even if it's a faction within your... Oh, well, never mind. You know, I said it before. I have lots of Jewish friends. I don't have any Christian friends anymore. It's interesting to me. But I've attended so many. I've lost count. Bar mitzvah, bat mitzvah. I was the. In the Jewish wedding ceremony, there's no real best man, but if you are honored to carry the what is it, Kathy? Chalupa? The tent thing over the bride and groom.
I like my chalupa with guacamole.
No, you're thinking of something else. But I was, you know, I was asked to do that at a wedding in New York City. Very good friends. And I also have Palestinian friends in Lebanon. You know, I have Arab friends here, Arab Christians, Arab Muslims. When you live in Atlanta, which is like an island surrounded by a redneck sea of vicious white flesh eaters, human flesh eaters, you know, and you live in the metro Atlanta area like I have for the past 40, 35 years, you know, you meet people who don't dare wander outside the perimeter highway that encircles Atlanta. You know, you get out, there's two Georgias. There's Atlanta and then there's Georgia. But, you know, having known all these people all these years, you know, Jew, Gentile, Muslim, Christian, gay, straight, black, white, whatever, I've had the rare opportunity in having such a rainbow of friends to learn so much about different systems and cultures and beliefs and traditions. And one of the things that I think I learned about the Jewish tradition is that the highest commandment in all of Jewish teaching is the saving of life. Now, I think that's been made clear to me that saving life is the highest commandment in all of Jewish teaching. And knowing that that is the case, that is what I've learned, that is what I've been told, that is what I've seen within the Jewish community. The Christian community is just the opposite. Death, Christianity for the most part, all Christianity is a death cult. It is. I'm sorry. If you don't like it, it's your religion. Do something about it then. But Christianity is a death cult, and Hinduism is a reincarnation system, and on and on. But the Jewish tradition was that the commandment, the highest commandment in that tradition, is the saving of human life, and I can't. That's what's got me very confused. How the slaughter in Lebanon is squared with that commandment in Judaism. I can't figure it out.
All your life.
You're listening to The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
And then God said,
let there be Air America, and I'll pay for it.
Well, no, not really. At least not that last part. So instead, our beloved advertisers pick up the cost, secure in the knowledge that you, our beloved listener, will recognize their support of Air America and prefer to spend your after-tax dollars with them. Keep looking forward to a brighter future. And when you do patronize our advertisers, please be sure to mention that you heard their message on Air America Radio.
If you're one of the 40 million without health insurance that are worried about health care, then you should know about Qualified Health. Qualified Health is a nationwide medical savings program that covers you and your family for less than $3 a day. Everyone qualifies regardless of pre-existing conditions. As a member, your bills will be a fraction of what they might have been. You will save on doctor visits, surgery, hospital stays, dental, vision, lab work, prescriptions, and have access to one of the largest healthcare networks in the country. To learn more about how you can save hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on your healthcare every year, call for your free brochure.
1-800-728-0036. That's 1-800-728-0036.
Or on the web at www.qhealth.com. Qualified Health membership is satisfaction guaranteed, and you may cancel at any time. $3 a day is a small price to pay for peace of mind. So if you don't have health insurance or are underinsured, call Qualified Health today.
1-800-728-0036.
Hi, I'm David Orrick. I've torture tested my 8-pound Oreck XL vacuum in the world's most grueling proving grounds, luxury hotels. 5 years in a hotel is like 50 years in your home. Folks, you owe it to yourself to try the end product of my 40-year obsession, the 8-pound Oreck XL. Try it risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200, 1-800-989-4200. If it's perfect for hotels, it's perfect for you.
End your day screaming with Mike Malloy on Air America Radio.
Okay, it's pronounced chupa, chupa, chupa.
No, it's chalupa. I'm telling you, we just ate there last week. Or am I talking about something
else? Yeah, I think you're talking about something else. Thanks to Reggie for sending that. Let's do some phone calls here. The phone number is 866-303-2270. Let's start with Mark, who's calling from Albany, New York. Mark, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike, how are you doing?
Doing fine.
I just want to fully show my support for you on what's going on in Israel and Lebanon right now. I think it's pretty disgusting how the Bush war machine is still pushing their hypocritical agenda in the Middle East,
yeah,
looking for the viable power for oil, and how Americans don't realize how we're sending bombs to Israel right now when America's still calling for the ceasefire. It's just pretty disgusting what's going on over there right now.
Well, it is indeed, but I don't expect anything less than lies and deception from anyone who speaks in the Bush crime family. Everything that they say is a lie. It's usually a murderous lie. These people are evil, just purely and simply evil.
Yeah, I just see it on the news, and how many local, especially people in New York, I grew up in New York City, how many Americans are so dumb to the fact that they still support this man in office. It's amazing to me that people still support him and how they don't see what he's doing right now. He's basically setting up for the war in Iran. He's setting up for his colonialism in the Middle East, and it's just horrible to think that a lot of people in America don't realize what's going on.
Yeah, I wish that were not the case, but it is indeed. Mark, thanks for checking in, pal.
Thank you, too.
All right, take it easy. John Dean's new book, Conservatives Without Conscience. Here's a quote that's from the book that someone sent me. Listen to this. This is John Dean talking. I often use Nixon's decision to turn over the tapes as an example of how Nixon helped us avoid a disastrous constitutional crisis. But what if Nixon had continued to defy the Supreme Court order to turn over the tapes? What if Nixon just kept saying, nope, you can't have them? Just who would have enforced the Supreme Court's decision? When I ask my students this question, I get the usual answers. The FBI? No, they work for the president. The attorney general? No, he works for the president. The military? No, the president is the commander in chief. The Washington, D.C. police? No, it's not their jurisdiction. The answer is no one knows what would have happened. We do know that since all of the enforcers work for the president, it is unlikely that Nixon would have ordered any of the people under him to enforce an order by the court that he was actively defying. Nixon did us a huge favor when he changed his mind about not turning over the tapes and resigned. Nixon wasn't stupid. I think he realized the crisis that the nation was facing. I just don't think Bush is smart enough about how our government works to understand something like this. And the point that was being made is that, I think this is becoming a more valid point as each day passes and this Bush, Cheney, Rumsfeld triumvirate of vicious psychopaths continues. There's not going to be an impeachment. First of all, if the Democrats do get control of the House and or the Senate in the election coming up in this November, they are not going to introduce articles of impeachment. Now, I know that John Conyers will probably then he'll have subpoena power, but he will be prevailed upon to drop it, to let it be. If by some strange circumstance George W. Bush does have delivered to him articles of impeachment, I think Bush is the type that will defy it and will just tell them to go screw themselves. And then what? I mean, think about it. Who is there in the United States government to enforce, let's suppose, has taken the next step? That's supposing all the pageantry that was put together against Bill Clinton because Bill Clinton tried to cover up a little minor sexual escapade. That's supposing all of that was put into play against George W. Bush. And I could see how 6, 7, 8, 9, possibly 10 articles of impeachment could be voted against this sucker, this filthy, degenerate George W. Bush. But so what? Let's take it the next step. The articles of impeachment come out of the House Judiciary Committee and are accepted by the House. And a bill of impeachment is several bills of impeachment are written up. And a trial date is set in the United States Senate. And it goes to the Senate, just like they did with Bill Clinton, because Bill Clinton tried to cover up minor sexual escapade. And let's supposing that this the Senate finds George W. Bush guilty. Then what? And order him removed from office. Who then, who executes the order? Who does? I have no idea. I really don't. Because as John Dean, I think those are John Dean's words, as he points out, vis-a-vis Nixon, what, George Bush is going to say to Alberto Gonzalez, all right, Alberto, deliver the eviction notice to me and let's all go home. What's going to happen? Is the Senate going to say to the United States military, okay, remove this guy, you know, evict him, get him out of here. He's trespassing on U.S. government property. Oh, okay. Yeah, that'll happen. So what would happen? You know, I think I honestly am beginning to question the viability of impeaching this guy when the Democrats get control of the House and the Senate this November, if such a thing happens. So maybe somebody will email me and or send me an email and tell me how that works. Jonathan Schell, writing for The Nation magazine, coming up. It's a larger article. It's the United States, too late for empire. And Schell writes the following. There's a large body of observations that at one and the same time have been made too often and yet not often enough. Too often because they have been repeated to the point of tedium for a minority ready to listen, but not often enough because the general public has yet to consider them seriously enough. Here they are. President George W. Bush sent U.S. troops into Iraq to find weapons of mass destruction, but they weren't there. He said Saddam Hussein's regime had given help to al-Qaeda, but it had not. He therefore took the nation to war on the basis of falsehoods. His administration says the tortured Abu Ghraib prison in Iraq and elsewhere has been the work of a few bad apples in the military, whereas, in fact, abuses were sanctioned at the highest levels of the executive branch in secret memos. His administration lambasted leakers, but its own officials illegally leaked the name of the Central Intelligence Agency operative Ellery Plame to discredit her husband politically. He flatly stated to the public that all wiretaps of Americans were ordered pursuant to court orders, whereas, in fact, he was authorizing and repeatedly reauthoring warrantless wiretaps. These wiretaps violated a specific law of Congress forbidding them. His administration has asserted a right to imprison Americans as well as foreigners indefinitely without the habeas corpus hearings required by law. Wars of aggression, torture, domestic spying, and arbitrary arrest are the hallmarks of dictatorship, yet Congress, run by the president's party, has refused to conduct full investigations into either the false weapons claims or the abuses and torture or the warrantless wiretaps or the imprisonment without habeas corpus. When Congress passed a bill forbidding torture, and the president signed it, he added a so-called signing statement implying a right to disregard its provisions when they conflicted with his interpretation of his powers. The president's secret legal memos justifying the abuses and torture are based on a conception of the powers of the executive that gives him carte blanche to disregard specific statutes as well as international law. In the exercise of self-granted powers to the commander-in-chief, nowhere mentioned in the Constitution. Now, if accepted, all of these claims fundamentally alter the structure of the U.S. government, upsetting the system of checks and balances and nullifying fundamental liberties, including guarantees in the Fourth Amendment to the Constitution against unreasonable searches and seizures and guarantees of due process. As such, they embody apparent failures of the president to carry out his oath to, quote, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States, end quote. The point that Shell is making is that this evil son of a bitch is so far beyond indictable offenses. He has almost rendered himself just a prima facie case of guilt. What's the need for a trial? We all know what he's doing. Even the presumption of innocence to something this blatant. I mean, if somebody walks into, into a place, and they're a police station, and he walks in carrying a gun, and he walks up to the desk sergeant, and there are 100 witnesses, and he blows a hole in the desk sergeant's head, and the desk sergeant is dead. I guess he gets a presumption of innocence, right? But is there any doubt of his guilt? Oh, okay, he's insane. All right, well, I guess that would work. We'll be back after the break. I'm Mike Malloy.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Will Israel ever see an end to violence? How will the war against Iraq's insurgents impact Israel? Will changes on the Supreme Court have any effect on the Jewish community? Is anti-Semitism in Europe on the rise? What can be done about it? For a look behind the headlines, read the Forward, the nation's Jewish newspaper. The Forward reveals the personalities, motivations, and histories that are fueling the news abroad. The Forward also provides an in-depth look at issues affecting us at home, with comprehensive reports on everything from politics and religion to culture and the arts. It even has its own matchmaking section for Jewish singles. Try 4 weeks free, then be billed $24.95 for another 26 issues. Not satisfied? Just write cancel on the bill and keep the first four issues free.
Call now, 800-858-5800 for the Forward. That's 800-858-5800.
our recruits. And our green moon here soon. So please show your ideas for this old earthquake's gonna leave me in the poorhouse.
And the goals for this country are a compassionate American for every single citizen.
Everyone gets a compassionate American? Oh, Jesus. 10 before the hour. Back to your phone calls here. Let me see. Paul is calling from Fort Lauderdale. Paul, welcome to the program.
Yeah, how you doing, Mike?
Doing fine.
American agents have been conducting a secret war for a long time, since the Clinton administration. They've been abducting or doing targeted assassinations against various Arab and Palestinian groups. What they're doing is protecting the rulers of these regions from being overthrown by their own subjects. These Muslim militants, like Osama bin Laden, if he's still alive, they want to overthrow the American-backed oil sheikhs and kings in the region and replace them with Islamic states or even constitutional monarchies. Mm-hmm. I think part of the problem over there is America or Washington continues to support a group of autocratic wealthy elites who are immensely unpopular with their own people and want to overthrow them.
I think you're probably right.
If we didn't back these guys, they'd be overthrown in a heartbeat by their own subjects. But you probably remember during
the
Cold War.
Yeah, but of course we need the oil.
We need the oil. Well, yes, we need the oil too.
Yeah.
But also, remember when Bill Casey was director of the CIA?
Uh-huh.
He was the Cold Warrior that wanted to get revenge against the Soviets for supplying the North Vietnamese in the Vietnam War. So when Soviets invaded Afghanistan, it was basically the Muslims of Afghanistan resisting the Soviets. He sent recruiting agents all over the Middle East to recruit Muslims to go fight the jihad in Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
And the rulers of these countries were quite happy to get rid of these guys because they were unemployed and plotting to overthrow them and send them all the way to Afghanistan. And now you have all these Wahhabi jihadists fighting the Soviet Union. The local Afghanis wanted to kick them out. They were sick and tired of them. When the war ended, the rulers of the Saudi states would not take them back. Now they were more dangerous than ever. They were trained by the Americans, and that's how Al-Qaeda got started.
Well, that's very true. And thanks for checking in, Paul. I appreciate that. Yeah, that's pretty much how it went down. No question about that. Jeff is calling from Montreal. Jeff, welcome to the program.
Hey, Mike.
Hey.
Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
You guys are already under a new world order.
We are?
Yeah. Come on. Wake up. Canada already is.
Okay.
It's over. Look around you. I mean, the North American Union, 9/11.
Yeah.
I mean, how much does it take for you guys south of the border to do what is constitutionally suggested that you do?
Those of us who are rational, nothing. It doesn't take anything.
It seems to me, Mike.
No, wait, hold on. Let me answer your question, Jeff. Hold on. For those of us south of the border who are rational, it takes nothing to remove this bastard from office. But you see, we're not in control. If you're suggesting that we take up arms and go to the streets, I don't think we're ready for that yet. We still operate, most of us, within the framework of our Constitution, and the Constitution lays out specific...
Well, you know, your Constitution...
specific,
Mike,
ways to address this problem. And, mm-hmm, and until the vast majority of Americans realize that the Constitution has been shredded, we're going to continue to hope that this can be done legally and peacefully.
Yeah. You know, it's unfortunate because I think you're preaching to the choir right now. And you're very eloquent. You're very articulate. You're very insightful. All the things that good Canadians look for American journalists like yourself to be equipped with. But, you know, Most people are still in denial, heavy denial. My father is an ex-military guy that was sent to China in the 70s. And it's all part of the New World Order, my friend.
Well, when are you Canadians going to invade the United States and liberate us from this oppressive regime? Bring the Mounties. We've got weapons of mass destruction. We've got every reason. We've got weapons of mass destruction. Yeah. We've attacked our own neighbors. Yeah. We've gassed our own people. And pretty soon, Bush is going to preemptively attack Canada. Because we need your landmass.
Hang on.
We need your resources.
Take it easy, Mike, because Harper, our prime minister, is already the lapdog of the Bush crime family.
So we can't count on Canadians
CEO.
To come and save us?
And this has already been going on for years anyway. So any Canadian listening already knows that we live in a police state. You know, a guy like Alex Jones comes up to Canada, and we arrest him right away at our airport. We just bust him. We just send him through 15 hours of hell. I mean, we don't even put up with that kind of crap from the U.S. And like my father said, he said to me, when I sent him anything that's anti-Canadian or anti-American, pro, I don't want to hear this expletive, He doesn't want to hear it, and that's coming from my own father, a man that was with the Canadian embassy who was a spook for Canada and a spook for the U.S., spying on the Chinese in the 70s. And I met Bush, by the way, in 75, 76, and his wife, Barbara Bush, on bicycles outside our compound in China. Wonderful people. Wonderful people.
I've got you covered, Jeff. Hey, listen, thanks a lot. I appreciate your comments from the Great White North. Thanks a lot, Jeff. Take care. Coming back, we'll be joined by Clint Curtis. He's a candidate for Congress in Florida's 24th. Check it out, clintcurtis.com. What?
Well, Jeff, it's not expletive. It's chalupa.
Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
On Air America Radio.
If you're one of the 40 million without health insurance and are worried about health care, then you should know about Qualified Health. Qualified Health is a nationwide medical savings program that covers you and your family for less than $3 a day. Everyone qualifies regardless of pre-existing conditions. As a member, your bills will be a fraction of what they might have been. You will save on doctor visits, surgery, hospital stays, dental, vision, lab work, prescriptions, and have access to one of the largest healthcare networks in the country. To learn more about how you can save hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on your healthcare every year, call for your free brochure.
1-800-728-0036. That's 1-800-728-0036.
Or on the web at www.qhealth.com. Qualified Health membership is satisfaction guaranteed, and you may cancel at any time. $3 a day is a small price to pay for peace of mind. So if you don't have health insurance or are underinsured, call Qualified Health today.
1-800-728-0036.
Air America Radio News, I'm Jeff Weiser. At least 27 people were killed when a car bomb went off Thursday in a Baghdad shopping district. More than 100 others were wounded. Officials also say 19 other people were found murdered across the city. At the Pentagon, Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld ordered 3,500 U.S. troops to remain in Iraq for an additional 4 months to help control the violence. U.S. Commanding General George Casey requested those extensions. Nearly 5 years after 9/11, a bipartisan report on U.S. intelligence says federal agencies have a poor understanding of the threats facing the nation. The 38-page report by the House Intelligence Committee says there is insufficient human intelligence from agents in the field and undercover. Inability to change has also led to little information about new threats, with intelligence officials reporting only on the same 10% of known terrorists. The Office of U.S. Intelligence Chief John Negroponte issued a statement acknowledging the problems, saying Negroponte's office needs to move aggressively to make changes specified by Congress. A Colorado prison inmate may be one of America's worst serial killers. The sheriff of El Paso County, Colorado, says convicted killer Robert Brown pled guilty to one murder Thursday and implicated himself in 47 others. Authorities have tied Brown to 7 of those killings because of details only the killer could know. Brown is serving a life sentence for the 1991 murder of a 13-year-old girl. Philadelphia Mayor John Street is calling for help to reduce the amount of violence in that city. The mayor took to the airwaves with a direct plea to the youth of Philadelphia to refrain from using guns to settle disputes.
That momentary loss of control or need to demand respect might not only snuff the life out of your victim, but could also destroy your life's chances and subject two families to untold pain and suffering.
The mayor says he also wants people to come forward and tell police about people who commit violent acts. The U.S. General Accounting Office says the U.S. Postal Service standards are so out of date it often leaves customers wondering when exactly they will get their mail. Despite the criticism, the Post Office managed to balance its budget for the first time in 34 years during 2005. You're listening to Air America Radio News. I'm Jeff Weiser. We'll be right back.
Welcome back. It's about 7 past the hour. In a few moments, we'll be joined by Clint Curtis, who is a candidate for Congress in Florida's 24th District. You can check out his position on the issues by going to ClintCurtis.com. ClintCurtis.com. And I believe he's on the phone now. Welcome to the program. May I call you Clint?
Yes, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Well, welcome. I'm glad you could take time out to be here, Clint. You are running in Florida's 24th, is that correct?
Yeah.
All right. What area does that include?
Down to Cocoa Beach, over to Orlando, up to Daytona Beach.
What is the basic demographic politically of that area, Clint?
It's actually favors Republican. It was actually drawn by the person that's presently holding the seat.
Oh.
With my help, unfortunately, but...
You were in the Florida General Assembly?
No, I was actually a computer programmer that worked with the fellow who presently holds the seat.
Oh, okay. And the person who holds that seat is a Republican?
Yes. Name Tom Feeney.
Oh, that Tom Feeney.
That Tom Feeney.
The former Speaker of the House?
Yes.
In Florida?
Yes.
How did you come to carve out a seat? I've got to ask, Clint. I know this is off topic, but how did that happen?
Well, I was working at a company in Oviedo, Florida, and Tom Feeney was the company's head lobbyist, their corporate attorney, mm-hmm. and incoming Speaker of the House.
Right.
And he would come in and ask for technical questions and, you know, his right. basic math. Mm-hmm. How do you carve out a seat so that you get the most bang for your buck? So... You know,
and so you showed him how to do it.
Someone would have.
Clint. So I guess he inspired you to run then.
Yes, he has inspired me to run. I mean, there was more to it than that, and that's what actually inspired me.
That's quite a story. Do the voters in that 24th district understand what you just told us?
Yes, I think they do.
Well, that's... it'll be highly ironic when you win. What are your chances of winning this seat, Clint?
Well, they're actually very good because not only did I help him carve it out, but I don't know if you've paid any attention to the voting problems, the election machine problems they're having.
Yeah, I seem to remember reading something
might
about that.
A little bit about that?
Yeah, yeah.
Anyway, when Tom Feeney was there, I was the programmer that he requested the vote fraud prototype program from.
Oh, wait a minute. All of a sudden I have a huge light bulb going off over my head. Are you the person who has the information and tried to get it out that about the programs regarding the voting machines in Florida?
Yes. Testified for Congress.
Oh, my God.
Polygraph.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry, Clint. I don't know how that got by me, but I had no idea that you are that Clint Curtis.
It's a very convoluted issue, isn't it?
Well, but it's also very straightforward. You have the goods on these people. Are you aware of the lawsuits that are being filed by Mike Papantonio and Robert Kennedy Jr. regarding vote fraud?
Yeah.
You are?
They're doing a good job.
And are you going to be a witness if that does come to some sort of trial?
If I'm asked, I'll be there. So far, I have not been asked, so...
Oh, that's... Yeah.
But it's not like I've been real quiet about this.
Yeah.
So.
Well, that's... Again, let me apologize for not putting two and two together and realizing you're the Clint Curtis who was asked by Tom Feeney to write programs that would jigger the votes in Florida. And you did not, if I've got the story right. Is that correct?
No, I did.
Oh, you did write the programs.
Well, I assumed, because I was Republican, he was a Republican, the company was Republicans, I assumed that he was doing it to stop vote fraud. He wanted to have a prototype, and then he wanted the information on what you would do to stop it from happening. You know, because those evil Democrats might cheat or something.
Yeah, right.
They
always
I wrote the program, very easy to write. I wrote up the things you would do to stop it. You know, you should have your source code so it can be reviewed by outside sources. You must produce an independent ballot, printed ballot, that can be audited against the machine.
Right.
And you basically have to have it so that you don't have proprietary companies that favor a single party being the same people who produce the machines.
And surprise, surprise, that is exactly the case.
That is exactly the case. In fact, in Florida, they have gone so far over the edge, they don't even care whether you know that they're cheating you or not. The big indication was, well, we don't want to have paper because we have to produce it and it's expensive. So down in Florida with the absentee ballots, where you already have the paper produced, you can already count it, they made a law that once it goes through the machine, it's like it was never there. You cannot audit the machine with it.
Wow.
Isn't that blatant?
It's criminal.
It is
so
criminal.
So how your transition from Tom Feeney's co-conspirator, unwitting, but co-conspirator nonetheless, and a Republican, what got you you're running as a Democrat, aren't you?
Yes.
What happened?
Well, basically, what the Democrats stand for now is what, when I was growing up, the Republicans stood for, the balanced budget.
I'm laughing because you know you're absolutely right.
It is absolutely true.
Yeah, it's
values, you know. We want to cut down on all this cronyism. We want to cut down on all the corruption.
Right.
Which side do you hear that from now?
Well, you hear it from Democrats, but I sometimes, you know, if it's possible, I was born a Democrat. I'm fairly certain I'll die a Democrat, even though there's so much about the Democratic Party right now that is not appealing to me. Let me ask you some questions then. If the Democrats, in your opinion, had become what the Republicans were when you were a kid growing up, do the new Democrats, what's your position on Iraq? Reading your website, it appears that you favor the Jack Murtha position of pulling our people out of there.
Yes, absolutely. Back in 2000, when I worked with Feeney, he actually discussed invasion of the Middle East based on the fact that they had no weapons, they had no friends, and they don't fight very well.
And that was his reason for attacking countries that simply because they couldn't defend themselves.
Well, they had oil.
They
had the little oil thing.
Right, but it was okay to attack them because there would be no defense mounted.
Oh, absolutely.
Boy, Feeney
just
missed that one.
Go take their oil.
Yeah, Feeney missed that one by about a million miles, apparently. Universal health care, which you seem to advocate, that's not a Republican idea, is it?
No, but it isn't really a Democratic idea either.
All right,
there doesn't seem to be a lot of push for it.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, we hear about it now, but, you know, most countries have adopted it, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been through Republican and Democratic administrations and haven't gotten anywhere with it. So,
of course,
it's basically a good idea. I mean, it just generally is a good idea to take care of your people and to take care of their health.
All right, how would you propose that would be accomplished? I think most people who understand the costs in health care understand that what is driving these increases is not medical technology or the inherent increase in the cost of drugs, but what's driving the rise in the cost of health care is the fact that there are profit-making companies between the provider and the person receiving the care. Are you suggesting that we get rid of the health care industry? And I'll give you a minute to come up with an answer because I got to take a break here. Can you hold on, Clint?
Sure.
All right. The question on the table is what you will do to make health care universal. We're talking with Clint Curtis. Take a look at his website, clintcurtis.com. This man has a very interesting history. I'm sure probably most of the people who knew we were going to have him on said, oh, that Clint Curtis, and I have to wait till 5 minutes in the conversation before I realize it. But that's typical Malloy. Stay with us. This is Air America.
Listening to the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Hello?
Opportunity calling.
I thought you knocked.
That's a cliche.
What do you have?
An opportunity to win.
What's it called?
Sony Card Wish It Win It.
So first I wish?
And then you have a chance to win.
Win what?
$10,000 worth of Sony Entertainment.
That's huge.
That's Sony Card Wish It Win It.
What do I do now?
Go to SonyCardWin.com/experience to create your personal wish list.
I wish for Sony Electronics, CDs, DVDs, and games.
Go now.
Can't wait.
There's a Sony Card winner each month.
So there's a chance?
That you'll be the one.
To wish and then win?
That's why it's called Wish It, Win It from Sony Card. The card that earns points towards Sony rewards with every use. Go to SonyCardWin.com/experience. No purchase necessary. Offer ends 12/31/06. Void where prohibited. Open only to U.S. residents 18 or older as of date of entry. Odds of winning depend on number of entries. For official rules and alternative method of entry, go to SonyCardWin.com. Sponsored by Sony Electronics, Inc. And remember, life's more entertaining with Sony Card.
Everyone past the hour, we're talking to Clint Curtis, who is running for the U.S. House of Representatives from Florida's 24th District. Let's go back to that universal health care idea, Clint. What would be your solution for this?
Well, part of the problem with health care the way we have it is we have too many middlemen. In every other country, the average cost of overhead administration is less than 20%. In this country, administration is about 35%.
Mm-hmm.
It's a little expensive. We don't negotiate anything. We just pay whoever, basically. So it's really out of hand. We could have universal health care by putting tariffs back on products that are imported in that are not American-made, so we could actually kill two birds with one stone.
But wouldn't that be in violation of several international free trade agreements?
Yes, it would be in violation of NAFTA and CAFTA, which neither one have ever been ratified. I don't know if you knew that. It's kind of a – everyone just accepts the fact that we are in these treaties. They have never been ratified ever. It takes two-thirds of Congress to ratify a treaty. It's never been done.
But haven't there been lawsuits? The one that immediately comes to mind is the Canadian timber industry, I believe, filed a lawsuit against the United States through the special court set up to handle the free trade agreements, and won a sizable award based on the fact that the U.S. was in I don't remember the case exactly, but was violating some of the requirements of NAFTA,
right.
Or am I just making that up?
No, that is correct. But NAFTA is not a ratified treaty. NAFTA is a presidential agreement, and that's all it is. Same with CAFTA. They have never been ratified.
But apparently it's enforceable.
It's enforceable as long as we allow it to be.
All right, well, what you're proposing is pretty radical. Not that I disagree, but I'm just saying what you're proposing is a radical answer to NAFTA. What do you think? What sort of support do you think you'd get in the U.S. House, Democrat or Republican?
Well, I think if we can show these people what guts actually look like, they will stand up and they will do something about it. Right now, a lot of them don't have it. They just go along. You know, they go along with the companies that send the money for donations, and no one really stands up for the American worker, for the fact that, you know, we have a $750 billion trade deficit.
Right.
We don't produce anything anymore. We have backed ourselves into a wall, and, you know, we smile and go along.
All right, but wouldn't that idea keep it in place, these insurance, the health insurance industry, which is nothing, as far as I'm concerned, but a huge scam that works against the interests of health for the American people?
Well, it also has a balancing effect. I mean, you want to cut it down. You want to reduce it. There has to be some form of medical administration going on. In all of the countries, it's 18, 19, 12%. In this country, we've made our insurance industry basically king of the healthcare, and they now take 35% of every dollar that goes to healthcare.
Well, haven't I read that the administration of is it Medicare is below 5%? We have a model for single payer universal health care that is run essentially by the government, and it's run one of the most effective and efficient programs in the United States is Medicare. Why not just build on that model?
Well, first of all, I think socialized medicine will be very hard to sell here. And second of all, right now we're not in control of a government that really seems to care much about what the people are doing.
Well, that's true, but I don't think socialized medicine, if that's the right term, I don't think that would be hard to sell to the American public. It might be hard to get past the insurance industry lobby or the pharmaceutical industry lobby, but those are the bad guys. Those are the bad guys. Those are the creepy bastards that are making it impossible for Americans to be able to afford health care. Those are the people that came up with what's happening to all the old people who signed up on the Medicare prescription drug plan are now facing this horrible so-called donut hole coming up here in a couple of weeks, which is going to cause so many of them either to go bankrupt, lose their homes, try to make a decision whether or not they eat or buy medicine. Shouldn't you be going after the pharmaceutical industry with a huge flaming sword and lop their damn heads off?
Well, it's very hard to do. In fact, that's almost impossible to do. And as you can see, when you let government control it rather than the market control it, you get this sort of situation. Medicare is a government program that's been sold out. What makes you think that you wouldn't have a health care system once you went to a straight government system that doesn't get sold out all the time?
Well,
they use the machines to get the control, and that's how they're holding it. But,
okay, but it's been sold out, Clint, because of the actions of George W. Bush in the pharmaceutical industry. Medicare itself I'm going to ask you to hold on again because this conversation is kind of intriguing me. Can you hold on?
Sure.
All right. We're talking with Clint Curtis, who is running for the House in the 24th Florida District. Stick around. We're going to pick up the conversation when we come back and carry it on for a little bit longer because we're kind of hung up on this particular issue right now, universal health care. Stay with us. I'm Mike Malloy.
Is the Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
Pet owners praise it. The hotel staff loves it. Parents rave about it. Allergy sufferers applaud it. Senior citizens are agog about it. Now it's your turn. Hi, I'm David Orrick. Everybody's singing the praises of my 8-pound Oreck XL because it's the best vacuum that ever touched their floors. Try one risk-free for 30 days. Call 1-800-989-4200. 1-800-989-4200.
If you're one of the 40 million without health insurance that are worried about health care, then you should know about Qualified Health. Qualified Health is a nationwide medical savings program that covers you and your family for less than $3 a day. Everyone qualifies regardless of pre-existing conditions. As a member, your bills will be a fraction of what they might have been. You will save on doctor visits, surgery, hospital stays, dental, vision, lab work, prescriptions, and have access to one of the largest healthcare networks in the country. To learn more about how you can save hundreds, if not thousands of dollars on your healthcare every year, call for your free brochure.
1-800-728-0036. That's 1-800-728-0036.
Or on the web at www.qhealth.com. Qualified Health membership is satisfaction guaranteed, and you may cancel at any time. $3 a day is a small price to pay for peace of mind. So if you don't have health insurance or are underinsured, call Qualified Health today.
1-800-728-0036.
Hi, it's Randy Rhodes, and you need to get Greg Palast's new book, Armed Madhouse. The Baltimore Chronicle says no one's investigated the Bush Clan like Palast and lived to write about it. So pick up Armed Madhouse from Greg Palast, America's top investigative reporter and the funniest. With killer dispatches like Who's Afraid of Osama Wolf, The Scheme to Steal 2008, and No Child's Behind the Left. Armed Madhouse, also available as an audiobook with guest readers like me. Armed Madhouse. Get it at gregpalast.com or your local bookstore.
We'll be right back.
about 26 before the hour. We're talking with Clint Curtis, running for the 24th House District in Florida, or running for the House in the 24th District in Florida as a Democrat. Clint, I'm still kind of hung up on this health care thing. What it sounds to me like what you're proposing is it's not really a solution. In the first place, I don't think you would get support from your colleagues in the U.S. House to increase tariffs or levy tariffs. That immediately, whether the NAFTA is legitimate or not, that immediately sets up a trade war and the possibility of lawsuits against the United States. I don't think against the industries. So I don't think anyone wants that. On the other hand, I think Medicare and to a lesser extent Medicaid have both proven themselves to be very successful in the administration of those programs and also in keeping the cost down. I would think that we've got a model for universal health care. When you say the government shouldn't be in the health care business, well, government's not in the health care business. They're in the administrative end of it. And therefore, there's no profit. There's no reason. There's no profit motive. Are you concerned that removing the profit motive would lessen the quality of health care?
No, I'm just saying that if I believe that the government should have a regulatory end of it, but actual free enterprise should control our health care system. Because if the government controls it completely, it depends on who's in government as to how that is actually going to work. It's just like it's just like Part D.
Well, I would tend to agree. 50 years ago when I was a kid, my mom had Blue Cross Blue Shield. There was never any problems. And I think even counting for 50 years of inflation, I think the cost of Blue Cross Blue Shield back then was probably the equivalent in today's dollars of maybe $100 a month or less, maybe $50 a month. So I'm not disagreeing with you that private enterprise can't make it work. But what I'm saying is, over the past 50 years, we've seen it evolve to this horrible monster that increases the cost is increasing at an exponential rate greater than inflation or the cost of everything else. So I have to disagree with you here that this monster can be brought under control by the same people who have created the monster to begin with.
And you think the government can bring it under control?
I think
government?
Yeah, I think the government, whoever the government is at this point, I think the bureaucracy, for example, I'm going to go back to Medicare again, or Social Security. What does it cost to administer Social Security? If the costs of the middleman, the corporations, is what's driving these prices out of sight, and the lobbyists in the pharmaceutical and the medical industrial complex keep prevailing on members of Congress to stymie any sort of reform, how is it going to be any different if we being members of Congress, say to the medical industrial industry, okay, you're going to have to get your costs under control? But what's to make them say, okay, we'll do it?
Because you can regulate that and you can offset all of the costs with tariffs. In other words, you get rid of NAFTA, you get rid of CAFTA, you don't have lawsuits because you don't have anything out there. And we can cover that, and we can rebuild America so it's strong again.
Well, all right. I guess we've gone round and round about this enough. I think that's something that your constituents would have to make a decision as to whether or not that idea works for them. Let's just agree to disagree on that one. I got an email here from someone in Seminole County, Florida, who says, I was at the Seminole County DEC meeting last night and met Clint Curtis. Please ask Clint the same question I asked him. How do we protect our votes?
Well, basically, right now in Florida, there is no way to verify your vote.
Right.
The program that I wrote for FINI allows you to flip the vote, and no one will ever see it.
Right.
In all of our Florida counties, they are actually having sleepovers, the same problem they had out in San Diego, where they're allowing the machines to go home with the vote workers, the poll workers.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you didn't have an internal flip, now you have the potential of an external flip.
Right.
So what I have done for my race, I'm offering to everybody, is I'm offering a way that people can actually register their vote, and then I can compare it precinct by precinct so they can't afford to flip that vote. If we can actually pull this off, get enough volunteers, get the information out there, and show that people in this country really care about their vote, it'll make all the difference in the world.
What is the objection to paper ballots?
Nothing, except it's not legal in Florida.
Paper ballots are now illegal?
They are illegal in Florida.
Oh, my God.
You've got to be here. Like I said, with the absentee ballot,
yeah.
You get an absentee ballot. It's on paper. You mark it. They run it through the machine at the counter. It's like that paper doesn't exist, like it blew up in the machine. It's just gone. You're not allowed to audit that paper against the machine. It's now illegal in Florida. You're stymied.
All right. Well, Lord have mercy. I don't know, Clint. I live in Georgia, where we were the petri dish for Diebold.
There you go.
2 years ago. Well, almost 3 years ago now. Every single precinct. I just voted in our primaries here, and once again, I have to touch that filthy, horrible screen, and every time I touch it to vote, I know the damn thing somewhere in its guts is laughing at me. However, machines laugh, because I don't know if my vote is going for Cynthia McKinney or if it's going to go for Hank Johnson, her opponent in the primary here. So it's just too bizarre. All right, listen, Clint, I appreciate all your time tonight. People need to go to your website and take a hard look at what you're advocating, and I wish you the best up against Tom Feeney. I know a bit about him, and I don't like what I know about him, and I hope you whip his butt. I hope the people in your district will and people around the country who go to your website will rally and send you some financial support and try to get this going.
I actually have a little $5 for democracy contribute button, so it doesn't cost them a lot, just $5. To let people know, so we have numbers to show them that people care. Mm-hmm. If we can raise money in that fashion, that will do more than if we had big donors.
Yeah, it definitely will. And that's on your website?
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Click on the $5 bill, and you're good to go.
Do you have a primary to get through?
Yes, I have a primary against, there's a veterinarian that's running against me, but so far he never shows up to anything, so.
And when is that primary?
That is September 5th.
Okay, let's try to talk. We've interviewed and chatted with, I should say, maybe 10 or 15 Democratic candidates around the country who are running up against the establishment. And after these primaries are all over, we'd like to go back and revisit and talk some more. So stay in touch with us, okay?
Will do. Thanks, sir.
All right. Thanks, Clint. Appreciate your time. Take care. That was an interesting conversation. It was for me. All right, let's go back to the phone calls here. Starting with Roberta, who's calling in from San Diego. Roberta, welcome to the program.
Hi, how are you doing?
Hey, doing fine. How are you?
Oh well, I should be really interested in the healthcare thing because I'm a senior, but. What I do about that is I take care of myself holistically and naturally, and I don't take any prescription drugs. So when they send me all that crap in the mail, it just all goes in a little pile somewhere because I know it's hopeless, and I just don't, need it or use it because, I take care of myself holistically. But anyway, I was totally blown away today and just pretty much lost it when I heard the announcement that the troops will not be coming home, that they will be over there for another 4 months and another 4 months and another 4 months and another year. And I mean, it just, something happened when I heard that announcement today, and I had what I call the Mike Malloy syndrome.
Uh-oh. Do you want to explain that?
Yes, and I say it affectionately. It's pretty much where I just start going off and yelling.
Screaming and cursing and yelling,
yes,
and kicking
out the
things.
Yeah, window and in the stores and in the parking lots. And, I make sure that I can't get arrested, of course. I'm very careful. But I do call it the Mike Malloy syndrome, and my friends know what that means because they listen to you, too. But, I mean, those troops are not coming home?
No. This is, and you know what they're going to be used for?
Yeah, cannon fodder.
Well, always that. But it's my understanding that everything is on hold now because, golly, they just may need them for... maybe Syria, or maybe Iran, or maybe on the border of Israel and Lebanon.
Yeah.
This we truly have slipped into a dictatorship, and nobody knows it. All these bills, you know, the reason Bush has not vetoed anything except stem cell research is because he doesn't have to anymore. He just attaches a signing statement.
I know.
There's no need to veto. He just does what he wants to do.
Yeah, we're headed toward the abyss, and anybody that doesn't know that, you know, and that's another thing that enraged me today was I was around hundreds and hundreds of people, because I was at the airport, and of course I didn't go crazy at the airport because that would be an immediate arrest. But
immediately.
It just, you know, it appears to me that everyone is so apathetic and they're so uncaring and they're so, you know, as long as they have their cell phones and their pagers and their computers and their cars and they can go to the shopping mall and, you know, and buy everything they need, and it just appears as though they don't care, and that really, really enrages me. No one's doing anything about it.
I hear you. Just stay tuned to this program. We're going to do something about it, Roberta.
Thank you.
You and I will be in the front lines. Thanks a lot for checking in. I appreciate
it.
All right, take care of yourself. We'll be right back. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America.
I can't shoot them anymore. That long black cloud is coming down. I feel I'm knocking on heaven's door.
The Mike Malloy Show on Air America Radio.
When Richard Nixon abused power, Congress held a serious bipartisan investigation that resulted in articles of impeachment. Strong evidence suggests that George Bush and Dick Cheney launched an illegal war and lied to Congress, spied on Americans without court approval, leaked classified information, produced phony news reports, imprisoned without charge, and tortured targeted civilians, and used illegal weapons. Ask your Congress member to co-sponsor House Resolution 635 for an investigation.
Sponsored by AfterDowningStreet.org.
Okay, the question before the court is this. Who exactly eliminated the middleman? All right, we'll come clean. GEICO is guilty as charged. Yes, we did away with him, and we'd do it again. After all, when GEICO gives you the same great service as the other guys and could save you hundreds on your car insurance, getting rid of the middleman isn't really a crime. It's more of a public service.
Go to GEICO.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO. 15 minutes could save you 15%.
about 9 before the hour. Thanks to the crew, Justin Yuen, and our resident rock star, Jason Isaac, who engineered the program in New York. David Weissman answered your calls tonight. Chris in Minnesota, senior correspondent, Mark Marshall, our webmaster, Ben Birch, who archives program, Jim in Arkansas, music bureau chief, and Catherine Bay, who stops the theme music abruptly, our executive producer. You pissed a couple people off tonight. Are you aware of that?
Shalupa.
don't start again. Anyway, thanks to everybody for the program tonight. I appreciate it. All right, back to your phone calls. Let me see here. Karen is calling from Wichita, Kansas. Hey, Karen.
Hello, Mike.
Hey, I haven't talked to somebody in Kansas for a long time. What is the matter with Kansas?
Where do you want to start?
No, never mind. All right. The real reason you called.
I was thinking when you were speaking to your guest, I was very surprised and kind of surprised at myself, too, because I do try to keep my ear to the ground.
Mm-hmm.
These trade agreements have not been ratified.
I'm not sure what that means either. I guess he would know.
That sounds to me like they're not legal. If they haven't been ratified.
But if they haven't ratified...
then why are we suffering from them?
Well, A. B. How is it that we are being sued?
Sure.
That's part of the NAFTA agreement.
That's
right. There's special courts set up that are outside U.S. Court system that make a determination as to whether or not an industry or a company in America is violating the NAFTA agreement. And if so, that company would be put out of business.
Well, yes. And I'll tell you why. Because no one knows the truth. This is such a secret. It's so secretive. Everything this administration does is so secretive. However, I have to blame the previous administration for these NAFTA and GATT.
Oh, me too. Agreements. Me too. Bill Clinton.
I'm going to do that. I've lost faith in both parties, but your little guy that was on a little bit ago was one of the most sensible Democrats I've listened to for a long time.
Really? You what made him more sensible, or the most sensible you've listened to for a long time? What was it?
Well, in the first place, he wasn't being just reactive and emotional. He made sense in what he said, and I really had to agree with him on his idea, his plan for the health insurance.
But isn't that idea based on a false premise, that the false premise being that the United States Congress is going to order the levying of taxes on goods that come into this country in order to pay for health care? How long would that last, Karen, before we were involved in a full-blown trade war?
Well, I think that we're getting the bad side of that anyway.
See,
our markets are being flooded with all of these cheap goods. We don't manufacture anything anymore, and something needs to happen to make a balance.
Well,
then look at Canada. They have socialized medicine. Those people wait for months to be treated for something. So I'm not so sure that works either. There's got to be a happy medium someplace.
I definitely agree. I'm not sure that what Clint was suggesting is the way to go. I'm a firm believer in single payer health care. I believe that an honest, efficient government, I'm sorry, don't laugh, could run a universal health system very simply, stay out of the way of doctor-patient relationships, but negotiate with pharmaceutical manufacturers for the cost of medications, negotiate with medical device manufacturers for the cost of prostheses or whatever we're talking about here, and just don't get involved. There's no gatekeepers. When you go to a doctor, the doctor will make a diagnosis. If you agree with the diagnosis, you accept the treatment. If you don't agree, you get a second opinion or you go home. But if you do opt for the treatment your doctor's prescribed for you, there's no gatekeeper. There's nobody you have to go through.
I agree with you completely, but you said the operative word, honest government.
Well,
and there is no such thing anymore. And I'm not so sure that I have any faith in it ever being again. I'm just very disgusted.
Well, I know.
But now the NAFTA and the GATT and the CAFTA, this most recent thing, the CAFTA.
Right.
I'm one of the same ilk of the little girl that just called previous, and I do the holistic healing thing.
Mm-hmm.
If it weren't for the alternative therapies that I have been administering to myself, I would be dead now because the medical profession has nothing to offer me. And I get much better results from alternative therapy. There is a portion of the CAFTA agreement called CODACS that will compel us to harmonize all of our laws to that of the Central American countries. And they're looking for the future for the whole South American continent, that we're going to have to agree with everyone. We have to harmonize our laws. And this is especially true in our manufacturing, whatever we manufacture anymore, in reference to the alternative therapies, the supplements, the homeopathics, those kinds of things. If Old Mexico were to manufacture vitamin C that was only worth 250 milligrams of vitamin C, we couldn't make anything any stronger because they don't. That is in the CODAC part of the CAFTA agreement. It is going to kill this country. And what about this one world order, this North American?
Karen, I got to leave it there. I hear what you say. I'd love to keep talking with you, but we're out of time. Call in again. Enjoyed what you had to say. Would love to talk to you again. But we're out of here. Thanks for participating tonight, however you did that. I'll see you tomorrow night, okay? Watch your back. Take care. I'm Mike Malloy. This is Air America Radio.
Malloy on Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Fight back with Avacor. Now with Boost, which gives you visibly thicker hair with the first application.
I'm 20 years old and I've been losing my hair for 3 years. I started using Avacor and my hair stopped falling out. It's working.
Well, I'm 72 years old and I can tell you honestly, I have a fuller, healthier head of hair now than I did when I was 18 years old. Avacor really worked.
Whether you're 20, 72, or any age in between, Avacor works. And Avacor with Boost will improve your hair's appearance the same day you receive your order. Call now and you can get 3 months of Avacor free with your order, plus a free gift from Avacor's hair care line of products. Call 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270. This is a limited time offer, so call right now. 1-800-884-6270. That's 1-800-884-6270.